This is Matt Wells at UN News. More than 1 million people in southern Madagascar are going hungry in what the World Food Programme, WFP, believes could become the first ever famine brought on by climate change. Successive years of drought have forced people in rural communities to eat locusts, fruit and cactus leaves because they've been unable to plant or harvest sweet potatoes, tomatoes and other crops. Alice Ramoun, WFP communications officer in the capital, and Tananarivo, was in the region recently. She said families have been selling prized assets such as cattle, farmland and even homes to survive. Ms. Ramoun spoke to Deanne Penn about the UN agency's support to some 700,000 people, with plans to reach more and hopes for the COP26 climate change conference, which opens later this month in Glasgow, Scotland.
It's been several years now that Madagascar, and especially the south of Madagascar, is hit by a very severe drought that leave people and without any ways to feed themselves. Because with the drought, and especially with no rain, they are not able to harvest anything because they can't plant, they can't sow, they can't harvest anything. So they don't have anything to eat right now. And we can say that there is more than 1 million people in southern Madagascar who are suffering from hunger right now.
Thank you so much, Alice. And tell us about that region. What's it like? Because, of course, a lot of people, myself included, have never been to southern Madagascar.
It's a very rural area with small villages, and many people are living from their fields and from their field production. So if there is nothing growing anymore, they don't have anything to feed themselves and to sell at the markets. So now in some area, you can find villages surrounded by fields, but fields are totally dried. Nothing can harvest. And sometimes when some of them have a little hope, they sow some seeds and try to irrigate more or less. And so something is growing, but it's just a few weeks after, because there is no rain, it's just drying. So it's quite impressive to see, you know, like tomato plants or so on, completely yellow or even brown because they are just dying because of the lack of water.
And now WFP are saying that this could be the world's first climate change induced famine. Can you explain why and how?
First of all, Madagascar, as many countries, has various seasons. There is a dry season, rainy season, and so on. But now the climate is really changing, and farmers who are really dependent from the climate, from the season, didn't really understand what's happening, because there is, for example, more and more wind, stronger wind that cover fields from suns and so on. There is, of course, less rain. So when there is the first rain, they can maybe have hope and sow some seeds. But one little rain is not a proper rainy season. So if the first little rain is not followed by a second rain and several weeks of rain, it's not enough to have a proper harvest, and everything is dying because of the lack of rain. What we can say is that the impacts of climate change are really stronger and stronger. People can't grow anymore. So harvest fails constantly, and so people don't have anything to harvest and to renew their food stocks.
Thanks, Alice. Now, you say that even though people are even trying to plant crops, it's very, very hard. So what are they eating now, or what are they able to plant if they are able to plant anything?
So in some areas, they are still able to plant something, but it's not easy at all. So they are trying to grow like sweet potatoes. You can barely find sweet potatoes in some area in the south. But in some other area, absolutely nothing is growing right now. So people are just surviving, eating locusts, eating fruits and cactus leaves. And just as an example, cactus leaf is usually for cattle, it's not for human consumption. So it's really worrying. And I think one of the most impressive things I've seen, it's even cactus. You can find it everywhere in the south, and people are eating cactus fruits. Even cactus are dying from the drought. So it's really, really worrying.
Alice, you've been to the region, so can you tell us, did you speak to any people there, and what did they say, or what did you see for yourself?
I was in the south during 2 weeks, a few days ago, and it was really impressive because I went to various places, and in some areas, it's in a proper rainy season for 3 years. But maybe 100 kilometers away, they haven't seen a proper rainy season for 10 years. So it's really dependent on the area. And the difference between different area is really astonishing.
You've already mentioned the impacts the drought is having on farming, but are there any other impacts, say, for example, like on education or health? And I guess, obviously, malnutrition must be an issue. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so people has already started to develop coping mechanism to survive. They are selling cattle, for example, to get money, to be able to buy food. But when before they were able to get food and feed themselves from their own field production. So it's really changing the daily life for people. They are also selling even more important assets, such as fields or even houses. And sometimes, yeah, they are taking off children from school. Also, strategy right now to gather the family's resources on finding, you know, income-generating activities involving children. So this has obviously a direct impact on education.
Can you tell us about WFP's response or WFP and partners, what you're doing and also what support is needed?
WFP is providing two types of response in collaboration with other humanitarian partners and, of course, with the government. The first one is a life-saving food emergency response. So we are bringing food to 700,000 people, including prevention of malnutrition products. The second one is more a long-term response to allow communities to be able to prepare for, response to, and recover from climate shocks better. So this includes resilience projects such as a water project like irrigation canals, reforestation, and even microinsurance to help smallholder farmers to recover from a lost harvest, for example.
You said, of course, that your work is for the, both the short and the long term. Is WFP needing more support for southern Madagascar, as a lot of people may not know about the current situation in the country?
Yes, it's a lot, and there's a lot of work to do. And so I've said that WFP is providing food assistance to 700,000 people, but we aim to support up to 1 million people from now to April. And this assistance to 1 million people will reduce the risk of more people falling up in famine-like condition. And that's why we need, in WFP in Madagascar, we need $69 million to do so and to work in this way. But we are also involving more in partners to find and fund a climate change solution for the community to adapt impacts of climate change.
Now, we're just days away from the COP26 climate change conference. And what does WFP hope that the conference will achieve, particularly for the people of southern Madagascar?
So for COP26, WFP wants to draw attention to a shift from crisis response to risk management, because we need to prepare for climate shocks and take early action at the global scale to reduce severe impacts on the most vulnerable people, such as people in Madagascar, for example. COP26 is also an opportunity for us to ask governments and donors to prioritize funding relating to climate adaptation programs to help countries to build a better risk management system, and even in Madagascar. Because if nothing is done, hunger will increase exponentially in the coming years because of climate change, and not only in Madagascar, but in other countries.